looking so fucking stoned. Can't smoke weed to it, I don't wanna listen to it. Want no trouble, I just wanna kick back with my tailors on. Smoke my weed, live life like a player. Learn the game, man, it's levels to this shit. Angels and all kinds of devils, fighting and scratching to bring you down. When you gone, want you back around.
Welcome back to another episode of the motherfucking original Stay Tuned podcast. You already know what's going on. I am your host with the most, Johnny Currian, aka Mr. Turn Your Wifey into My Waifu, because I just need somebody to emotionally cuddle with.
Ooh, someone to touch his heart, touch his soul too, his hair. You know Johnny got nice hair. It's your boy, Black Picasso, Hokage of the Village Hidden in the Leaves, Commander of the Scout Regiment, King of Pirates, Commissioner of CCG, Principal of the Hero Academy, Captain Commissioner of the Gaia 13, and the General of the Red Ribbon Army. But this is not the Red Ribbon Army. This is Stay Tuned Podcast. Oh, I'm so glad to be back, baby. We got a guest too, a new guest, one that we haven't heard before. Ooh, let him know.
What's up? I'm Raymond, aka Tito, aka Stretch. Follow me on my socials, Ray Ray Holiday. That's all I got. That's my intro.
Damn, that was smooth. This man came prepared.
Yeah, he did. People got that at name out there and everything.
Just had to make sure they know.
Make sure they know, dog. Where you want to get into first? It's been a while.
Man.
It has.
I don't know. There's so much going on right now. Like yesterday, talk about the Ivy scandal.
With the colleges?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, bro.
Well, Uncle Jesse's wife?
Oh, is that the... I didn't even know who it was. I just saw it, and I was like, I thought we've been having that, but...
I think everybody knew, but it's good to know that it's official now. Like,
right.
And people are trying to avoid making this a race thing, but it's very difficult to not see discrimination when you just see the wealthiest 1%, who is mostly made up of white people, like, use their privilege to try to pay people off to get into colleges. And, like, it's cool that this is getting exposed, because as an Asian American, like, we by no means get discriminated anywhere near the level of Latinos or African Americans in this country. But when it comes to shit like this, like, this is clearly discrimination against Asian Americans.
Wait, before we go into this, let's get into the specifics of what the actual scandal was. So, like, I'm still kind of, I only know it in kind of broad strokes. So, yes. What exactly did Uncle Jesse's wife and everybody else in there do?
So there was like this one random like guru old ass guy who lived in like Newport Beach, California, who apparently was receiving payments from like various celebrities and like all these people who knew their kids were like not smart enough to get into like these really, really established, well-off colleges. So they would pay him like a range of either $15,000 all the way up to $75,000 to either smudge an SAT score after it was received or send somebody in on behalf of their children to take their SAT score.
I heard that's what happened too.
Furthermore, like they were able, like this guy was somehow able to get like transcripts and was able to smudge transcripts and like create these like fake profiles for some of these kids to also be considered as student athletes, even though they weren't. So like, for example, like this guy had like connects with like the Georgetown tennis coach and like would put like kids on the Georgetown tennis team who have never played tennis before. But like they would get that scholarship and like that like credit, I guess, like added to their resume as if they were like these amazing D1 athletes, like when they clearly weren't.
Oh, ow.
How could you think that you would get away with that though? Because wouldn't there be so many like situations where it's like, yeah, that guy's never been on this tennis team before, like I've never seen him before. What do you mean? Like,
I mean, but if you're the authority that's like signing off on that stuff, then there's nobody really checking you, right? They just kind of say, hey, give us the report of who gets the scholarships, and then that's it, right?
The worst thing about that too is like they were really smart about where they were putting these kids at. Like, it was never like gonna be like on the football or the basketball team, but it was always on like something.
It was like crew or tennis, I think.
Right.
The paper mache team.
That paper mache team be going ham though.
I fuck up a paper mache team. What I heard the scandal was is like three or four different things that I'm not seeing how they connect to the same scandal, because I'm hearing part of it is the SAT stuff, where they're paying to get extra time or unlimited time for the SAT, or to smudge SAT scores, or to have someone else stand in on the SAT scores, and then everything that's going on with the college admissions and the fake scholarships and everything. So how is this all unraveling at the same time? Like, how'd this all get connected? Is it the same people doing all of, like, I'm still like pretty ignorant to what actually went on. Is it the same people that are doing the SAT scandal that's also doing the fake scholarship scandal?
Yeah, it's all one guy. It was like all one dude from like Newport. Yeah.
He was doing all of it.
Yeah, he was like the ringleader pretty much for it. I'm pretty sure
for all the people. Okay, yeah. Got you.
Yeah, so
for all these actors to do that.
Exactly.
To get in with them.
And like this just like falls hand in hand with like what happened earlier at the end of last year, where Harvard got like sued by like a bunch of Asian Americans for like clear discrimination by like just labeling Asian Americans, even though they had like the same like resume with the same amount of credentials as like their white counterparts. They were just labeled as like being too boring or not having enough personality to like reach the credentials to get into Harvard, which is like clearly
bullshit. That's a thing you could do.
Is that
enough personality?
Yeah, because when it comes to Harvard, they have the right to like nitpick and be like preferential to shit like that. And I mean, it's clearly biased, right? There definitely is a glass ceiling on like Asian Americans when it comes to like college admissions. And I guess it does make sense because like shit, if that didn't exist, like there's no way getting around it. Like Harvard would be 85% like Asian American.
All of these good schools would be 100% Asian.
Yeah, the shit would be wild.
They really would.
But I think the big takeaway for me, like looking back at all of this, is just like, I think white people need to finally come to terms that they're not the smartest race. Like, and that's okay. That's okay. Like, you can't be the best at everything. Like, you guys were really, really good at like being opportunists and like fucking other races over in strategic times. But I think we could safely say in 2019, like, there just has not been enough pull going y'all's way to like hold the crown anymore. Like, yeah, you guys can be good at other stuff, like being able to be resistant to the cold or
they do still run the world.
Oh yeah, for sure. But
they're still like the top dogs as far as like controlling what goes on in the world, really.
Yeah,
or at least in the most powerful country in the world.
But I think we need to start seeing that as a form of just like legacy privilege and just being strategically opportunist, as opposed to like them being innately smarter than everybody else.
Wait, so I have a question. So you said that white people have to come to terms with the fact that they're not the smartest race, right?
For sure.
Sorry, does that imply that there is a smartest race, or are you just saying that? I don't know. So what are you saying by that?
I think it's us. I'm gonna talk some shit on behalf of us. I think it's us.
Whoa. As far as me.
On average.
Dang.
And it's not because we earned it too. I think it's just because in terms of how America has worked, immigrants have always had to like struggle the most, and because they struggle the most, they end up having really good work ethics, and work ethic goes hand in hand with like forming intelligence. And
okay, so you're not saying it's like not an innate thing, you're just saying just based on the way the lifestyle is, based on, you know, where they come from, who they are.
Exactly.
Based on how they built themselves.
Yeah, we're just the most recent immigrants. So like, because we have to establish ourselves, like our parents are gonna be more hard asses on us, like actually having to go to college and like not following our dreams and just becoming a doctor and like having our souls die. And because of that, it just ends up with us being on a disciplined path towards intelligence that's like more strictly followed on average, because like we just have more closer ties to like being near poverty or coming from poverty, where like Asia, a lot of places is fucked up. Like India obviously never has like clean water in certain sections. They're like running electricity. So like when your parents come from that and then like they see you play on your like iPhone XS Max, they're like, you better fucking be a doctor. This shit was just not worth it.
Okay, that makes sense then.
It could totally change in like 30 or 40 years. Like I'm actually very excited. I think our generation will be the first generation of like Asian Americans that'll actually like start fucking around and doing dumb shit. Like we're gonna get a Yes Jules. We're gonna get an Indian Yes Jules pretty soon, like in 10, 15 years. So
is that something you want?
It's not something I want, but it's gonna happen, and like shit, like let's get some thick Indian women in here. I'm not against it.
So just to see where everybody lands, I looked up the highest IQ on average per country, and the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The first 6 countries are all Asian.
Damn.
I mean, I just say that's also part of the culture, though. I mean, historically.
But this is IQ though. I don't know what goes into IQ as far as like, I don't know how much your work ethic and how much you've. I don't know how much exactly goes into IQ, if that's something that you just have with, like, from birth or not, but...
Yeah, no, I've never taken an IQ test. I don't know if it's... Because let's say, like, it's stuff that, you know, usually they say, oh, you should have this knowledge by the time you're, you know, 7 years old. If you're not taught that, you have no chance of knowing it. But I don't know what IQ
looks like. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what goes into, like, making the IQ. Like, I don't know if having a certain, if you went to a better school than someone else, then if you're going to have a better IQ from that, or I'm not sure how that works, but top six are all Asian. And then seven is Italy for some reason.
Damn, it's
random.
I always thought towns were dumb.
That ravioli be hidden, though.
I don't know. America is far way down there.
See,
America is far down here.
So I would like to see a correlation between that and education, or like, you know, something, a chart with that. I would want to see that, just so if there is a correlation, I feel like that takes away from what IQ is testing.
That's true. That's a pretty good point. And then, like, I mean, there's also the really well-known fact that, like, most Latin American countries, or like even African countries, has just been consistently and constantly been getting fucked by the rest of the world all the time. Like, it's tough to be smart when you have to fight for survival so much, and you can't get out of situations. Like, we see this in America to this day. Like, there's so much systematic and, like, systemic, like, racial oppression that just, like, gives glass ceilings to just people of color in this country every single day, that we still need to figure out and resolve. And, like, it's never been an even playing field for African Americans ever in America. And, like, it's still not. And people don't want to work towards, like, making it equal, which is pretty fucked up, but I think we'll get there someday.
All right, so on that note, have you heard this whole reparations thing that's coming around?
I have.
I don't know. How do y'all feel about that? I don't know.
Wait, what do you mean? New reparations thing going around? I'm not sure if I heard that.
I think it's become, I don't know. Man, my Twitter is very, very biased in terms of what I see. But I've seen it that is. It has become more of a topic, or something that's, like, candidates, at least for the 2020 election, have been looking at, I think. That's what I've heard. I don't really know if that's true, though.
That genuine reparations?
Yeah, Ray's right about that. A lot of Democratic presidential candidates have been talking about the idea of reparations, or some form of creating policy that might be able to, like, equal the playing field for a lot of people. Now, I mean, the original form of reparations, for, like, if people are, like, confused on what reparations are, is just pretty much trying to give literally a lump sum of money as, like, a way to make up, like, how fucked up, like, slavery was, Jim Crow,
right,
like, all of that stuff. I don't know how you, like, land on a dollar amount, and, like, most importantly, right, it's not going to be effective. I don't believe giving money out is going to be the most effective way of uplifting everybody.
The original idea of reparations wasn't necessarily money. It was something that you can build off of generation-wise. Like, the 40 acres and a mule was the first thing, because you can make a living off of owning land and owning something that you can actually farm with.
Right.
So, like, I think... I don't know any details of what these candidates are saying they would do for reparations, but I don't think a dollar amount would make any sense for it now. That's why I'm interested to see. I don't know if you guys know in the details of what they're talking about when they say reparations. Like, do they mean, like, I don't know, give us land? Are they going to give us, like, access to better schools? What do they mean by that?
Well, so some candidates have floated around kind of, like, turning the marijuana legalization policy into a form of reparations. I know
that, come on, bro.
Yeah,
just letting go, sell me,
bro. Fucking crazy, but that's what some of these candidates are really talking about. Like, Cory Booker is a big believer of this. I think Bernie Sanders said he was going to try to turn reparations into a form of, like, incorporate reparations into a marijuana legalization policy. Because, I mean, everybody here knows that the amount of people who get arrested for marijuana who happen to be people of color is just, like, absolutely disproportionate to, like, any other race. And
that's true.
It's been like that, at least. I witnessed it in the 90s in New York with Stop and Frisk. Like, people were getting sent to jail, like, hundreds of thousands of black men for no reason were getting sent to jail for petty bullshit crimes like that. And they're thinking, I guess, in the form of reparations for expunging their records, and then giving them, like, stipends and loans to start their own marijuana businesses. Because, I mean, we're seeing it right now, at least in Colorado and Nevada and California. A lot of the people who are able to sell marijuana legally and are able to form legitimate, meaningful businesses are all white right now. And that's pretty fucked up, because white people have used marijuana as a way to oppress people racially for a long time in this country. And if we're going to start an emerging market that could potentially provide generational wealth, it should go to black people first. It should go to Latino people first.
All right, so when they say marijuana legalization, they're talking about, like, release people from prisons and, I don't know, paying them back for
giving us the market.
Okay,
I thought you meant giving us the market, because the main thing with black and Latino community now is we don't have any type of economy within ourselves. Like, the same way that, like, that Asians are kind of core in the market with, like, dry cleaners or I'm that's honest.
I know, that's honest. Funny.
Or with the ethnic, or at the ethnic hair shops, or it is with the gas stations, or whatever. Like, we have no type of actual economy within ourselves. I thought that's what they meant by that.
I thought
was they would try to give us a first step into that business. But like Johnny was saying before, the white people in Denver and California are already 50 steps ahead right now.
Yeah, so I thought he meant just they're going to legalize weed and say, here you go, black people. give us
all a pound.
Yo, watch that shit actually happen, though. You know how tricky this government gets. They probably would spin it like my that. God, like, hey, we legalized weed. You're welcome, black people.
We're good now, right?
We still... Oh, my God. You welcome. We know how much you love it. That's crazy. That's crazy. I'll be so mad if that happens.
That was the only
I'd be more mad because that might happen.
Stop, bro. You better not. I'll be ridiculous. I thought, because I've seen that some Jewish people from Germany will get literally a check in the mail every month just because, the Holocaust was horrible. Here's some money. I hope we're better now. I don't know. So I was thinking that's what they meant. But if their goal is to, make up for the stop and frisk and everything from before, that would make sense. I was hoping it would be more like less invest in your neighborhoods type thing than anything else.
That would help too.
That would be cool and probably more effective. But that means like politicians would actually have to like go to the hood. I don't know if they're built for that.
The damage is kind of done as far as the hood, though. It's it's such a sticky situation to even try to fix.
Why should I?
Because of the mentality of people who are in the hood now. They've been there for generations now, and they're kind of stuck in there. That's the whole thing about the trap is they're born and raised in that same environment that's been pushed down and suppressed there for like goddamn our whole history being free in America, really. And it's like you can't just go in and give them a new school and a new environment and expect just magic to happen from that. There's so much. As far as just like, I don't want to use the word mental slavery, but in a way, mental slavery, as far as like how we've been.
That's what you're saying.
I don't know.
So, okay, let's make Nate a policymaker. Yo. You got infinite budget. You got infinite reach. Dictator Nate, what would you do to fix the situation?
To fix the situation?
Yeah.
I would.
End racism, Nate.
Do it. No.
Yo.
No, the hood is different from racism. Just end the hood.
Fuck, man. Honestly, after watching... Have you guys seen Killer Mike's Trigger Warning on Netflix?
No.
So, like, the first episode of Trigger Warning, he talks about the black economy and how... and kind of the lack of the black economy in America. And he tries to live a week literally only surviving off of black-owned products. Like, literally from the way... The time he wakes up to when he goes to sleep, he doesn't consume, use anything that's not black owned. So that means like no cars, no clothes, no food, no like anything that's not black owned. And like it really highlighted how like you really can't live off that. And the main information you got from that was kind of the worst thing that happened for the black economy in a fucked up way was desegregation. Because before desegregation, we had no choice but to shop at black owned places because we weren't allowed in the white owned places. So like our dollars all circulated within our own community. And in a weird way, we actually kind of were not thriving because come on, it was the Jim Crow era and shit like that. But economically compared to now, we kind of were thriving because we had circulation in our own community until desegregation happened and the whites kind of took over because the whites had the better version of everything. The white grocery store was always better than a black grocery store. We just couldn't shop there. So once you could, their organizations or companies took over. So kind of in a fucked up way, the best way to kind of start our black economy up again is a kind of a form of segregation. Like give us Texas or some shit. Not Texas, because they'll kill us so fast trying to take Texas. But give us Montana or some shit where we can go and like and actually like give us a few decades where it's only black people in Montana, and we build up our Montana companies and then we build up our own community there where we can actually reach out and we can actually have successful businesses in the rest of America. I think that's probably the best way to actually get some money circulated in the black community. But that's not gonna happen, so who the fuck knows.
I don't know. It is really tough because there's so much of America that was just built off of just free black labor. I wish there was a way you could give people a cut.
That kills me. Yo, every time I see, like, you ever see commercial like, hey, we've been in business since 1912, that's why you should trust our products. Every time I see that kind of stuff, I'll be like, come on, man, that doesn't... Y'all was cheating.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That
makes me sad every time I see stuff like that.
Actually, that might work, though. Like, if you could find every crop currently... Like, for example, tobacco. Like, so much of the tobacco industry was, like, built off of slavery. Straight up, right? So, if you could take a current cut, like, from, say, like, from here on, where it's every piece of tobacco that was American, like, made that gets sold, a piece of that has to go towards that reparation bill.
That should be the reparations. That should be the reparations.
So we're talking anything where slave labor is used or anything. All of those goods will be taxed, and all that tax will go to a reparation fund for whatever, I guess, however they split that up.
Yeah.
All that cotton.
That makes a lot of sense.
Johnny for president. Let's get it going.
But the people, that'll take so much money from the people that actually matter, as far as people who put people in office, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the people who are funding these campaigns are the ones that will be losing billions of dollars from this reparation idea that they're not gonna see anything back from.
True.
That's the hardest part about it. People who could be hurt by it. I don't know.
And like, lobbyists are such pieces of shit. Like, at the end of the day, even if you have a good idea, it's gonna end up getting just wrecked through the House of Representatives and like the Senate and stuff like that. Like, somebody's gonna put their fingers on it and make it something that it wasn't even originally supposed to be. Like, we saw this with Obamacare. Like, the original goal was to try to go for single payer Medicare for all, but like, it ended up getting just wrecked by Republicans. And I mean, Democrats have done that to Republican policies for so long. It's one of the main reasons why we're so divided as a country. It's just like pure partisanship and corporate lobbyism just always takes away from the original goal of any policy. And I don't know how to fix that. Like, hopefully we can get away from like privately funded super PACs and stuff like that. Like, if all campaigns had to come from like just public donors, that'd be really nice.
Ideally, that's what the idea of Trump was supposed to be.
Right. That's what exactly
what was. What he was supposed to actually drain the swamp and actually like. But he. Oh my God, this shit ended up so fucking fucked up. But the idea of somebody like Trump being able to fund himself and get in and not be swayed by lobbyists and stuff like that would have been perfect to blow that whole shit up, because we needed something to.
I think not just somebody who's
no, you're good.
Funded by themselves, but also somebody who's an outsider and just has not been, you know, influenced, you know, by people who are already in Washington.
Yeah.
So like the AOCs and the, you know, all of them of the world who just have never been there before. So you want that fresh face in there who's not going to be scared to make, you know, bold decisions that might hurt potential political allies or people who have done the favors in the past.
Bernie was supposed to do that too.
Yeah, but they screwed him.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to get screwed again this time? Have y'all been paying attention to who's running?
I don't know
if any of these people can win. The only person I think could win, if they do put the ballot in, which I think it was, Joe Biden. Because the rest of these people, they're great candidates. I think we have great candidates.
Yeah.
But I don't think we have anybody that can win so far.
Yeah, you have to bully the bully when it comes to 2020. Like, it's just at the point, and it's not going to be hard. Like, Trump has done a lot of dumb shit. I feel like we're just at the same spot that we were in 2016, and I'm already scared because, like, that shit was supposed to be a layup, and we airballed the layup. You know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I'm prepared for a two-term Trump presidency, and like, you just gotta be ready.
I'm hoping for Joe.
Dude, I feel like everybody's in the mood right now for where you just want political outsiders. So I think that, you know, Joe Biden should just kind of take a backseat. I mean, as much as like he's, you know, he's established, he has experience or whatever, people want outsiders right now. I think that's probably the best route to go to, especially trying to reach across the aisle and get votes from that side. You want somebody from the outside. So him and
100%.
Probably should just maybe not run.
But I don't think they can win though, because the main thing is picking up these voters that voted for Trump but regret their vote now, but they're still conservatives.
Yeah.
And the candidates we have now are just the type of people the conservatives are not trying to see in the White House.
Exactly.
Like, even the rational people that still voted for Trump that regret it still kind of like still don't really want to see a Mexican woman in the White House or a black guy in the White House. Not necessarily saying because like they're Mexican or black, but because like to them that's the idea of the far left, and they don't fuck with the far left.
Yeah, for sure.
But they would fuck with Joe, I think.
Yeah, I think everybody would fuck with Joe.
That's a good point. So maybe like
but Ray was right though.
Yes, yeah, so I was about to say. So maybe an established Washington insider with a running mate as a political outsider, just somebody to shake it up a little bit. Say, oh, you know, maybe they can influence this president's policies. Like, that might be the way to go.
True, that could be it.
It would.
There's one guy running on a platform just based off of universal basic income, like under the Democrats. His name's Andrew Wang.
I saw that. I've heard about him.
I saw that.
I listened to a podcast about him.
Yeah, I saw him on Joe Rogan.
Yeah, that dude seems pretty smart, but I don't know. Do you guys know what universal basic income is?
So I know he, on the podcast I heard, he said everybody should just get $1,000 every month to spend.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there more to it?
No, that's pretty much it.
When I first heard it, it was more than that. It was like maybe like $30,000 a year or something like that, which sounds like a crazy.
Far more than $1,000 a month.
It was $1,000 a month. So a
crazy idea.
Yeah, it's like $12,000 per person. It seems like really good conceptually. It just sucks that nobody has asked this guy how like inflation would work if we just gave everybody $12,000 a year. You know what I mean? Like
that's what I'm saying.
Because people are so fucked up. Like these like rent property owners, like people who own like real estate and stuff like that. Like Trump, for example. Like a lot of these commercial real estate people would just be like, yeah, because everybody has an extra $12,000, we're just gonna make the rent like an extra $500 a month because we know you guys have the money.
That's exactly what happened.
Well, so what if they
happen immediately too?
So what if they made it like only you could only redeem it at certain places? Like they made it like basically a gift card. Say here's a $1,000 retail gift card that you can only use on Amazon, at Walmart, Target, Best Buy,
like food stamps.
Yeah, something like that. Wouldn't that pretty much replace that then? And I don't know. You think that reaction would still happen?
Maybe. I mean, it could work too, but then it's like, who do we choose to like let them spend the money at? Because like I could see a lot of corporations, like Amazon, for example, be like, yo, you have to pass the bill to let them only shop at Amazon. Or like Walmart would be like, you only can shop at Walmart. You know what I mean? Like it could get really tricky. Policy is tough, man. The older I get, like the more problems I see, but the tougher I realize it is to fix these things. God damn, we went on some deep shit for the beginning of this podcast, man. Let's get into these hoes, bro. Let's get ignorant.
Oh my goodness.
I got a question. So how far into a relationship is it acceptable for you guys? Oh, not even acceptable. Just your opinion. How far into a relationship is it okay to stop trying to give good dick?
Yeah, this is a great question.
Stop like making the effort to give good dick.
Probably after you guys go on a vacation. Like the second you spend meaningful money on that girl, like let's say y'all got to take a trip somewhere, like because you know how girls be wanting to be taking pictures at basic ass places. Let's say you take your girl to Hawaii or some shit. After you take her to Hawaii, you've paid up your good dick. You know what I mean? Like it's time for her to start paying back. I need some dividends on the pussy.
So what about like just not? You should just put tariffs.
What?
Tariffs on. You know what I'm saying? You only give a good dick. You know, every now and again, but nothing else otherwise. Nothing else otherwise. You know what I'm saying? So we talking once, you know, every week, maybe nothing else otherwise.
Once every week is still might be trying to me as far as like great dick, because I'm saying not necessarily giving good dick, but making the effort to, if that makes any sense. Because like the first few months of relationship, or like definitely before relationship, and the first few months in relationship, I'm making a big effort to last longer. I'm making the effort to like I might pop a pill or two. Like I'm making like the big effort to impress. How long into it do you just say, hey, like, hey, when I nut, I nut?
I think you gotta treat that shit like doggy treats. You know what I mean? Like
like ration it a little bit, like Ray was saying, kind of.
Yeah, you gotta kind of like subconsciously train your chick. Like if she like cooks like an amazing meal that you didn't even ask for, go ahead and give her some good dick, and then she'll be like, why did he give me good dick? And then like eventually she'll figure it out. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
Because you know, I feel like if you do that and they figure it out, you're like, hey, why are you only do that when I cook? What's up with that? You know, they might put disrespect. That could be a bad thing.
But I mean, if the dick game is good, she'll complain, but she'll still go with it. Like it's not like she's not gonna want to receive the penis. Like she's just gonna be like, oh my god, I can't believe you do that, and then you don't have to care. That's the power of good dick, bro. Good dick will get you out of anything and everything. It's a beautiful thing.
All right, how about same question to a girl you're not dating, to a girl you're just fucking?
Whenever.
He said stop whenever. See, I don't know why. With me, I try to impress way more to somebody that I'm not dating, even if I'm fucking her for a long time.
I feel you on that.
Because like, then I got to try to keep them around.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to what I was saying from before about sex just being a giant Yelp review. Like, I don't know who she's going to talk to about my penis. Like, I got to make sure the word is good.
And I found that no matter how much good dick you've banked up, if it ends on a bad dick, you're just a bad dick guy.
We can use psychology. Yeah.
With someone you're not dating. Right?
First impressions matter, and the vibe matters a lot too. I don't know what the psychological side on the end is, but nothing in between matters. If you start good and you end good, then that's all that matters.
That's
so
true.
If you constantly decide that, you know, that's true. That's gonna be your last time, and then that's, I feel like first impression, and on a good note. That's it.
I try to do that too, but sometimes when you're fucking somebody that you're not dating or even like talking to seriously, you don't know when the last time is gonna be. And sometimes, like if you think it's a middle one and like some situation happens afterwards and it ends up being a last one, and you get in on a bad note, or you might end up, or you just might give her some middle dick, and she's like, I don't want middle dick no more. I'm gonna go get someone who's gonna give me first time dick, and then that's your last one. And then she left you because you're a bad dick guy, even though you banked up a whole bunch of good dick before.
Yeah, but that's just life, though. Sometimes you just got bossed up to find another chick.
Oh, it'd be like that, though. 100%.
It'd be like that, though, for real. Especially, man, some of these girls these days be moving a little too fast. Some of these females, man, they get flown out, then you go see them again, and you be hanging out, and then they gotta get flown out again. Like,
you said they get flown out. Who's, you do that?
I'm not flying girls out yet. I think I'm on the verge of getting my money right to do that. But
you heard that yet, though.
But currently, like, y'all haven't even, y'all don't know any girls that get flown out. I know a few.
All the fine girls from here are flown out somewhere else.
Come on, FedEx Air? That's crazy.
Exactly.
All the fine females from my hometown or from my home area are flying out somewhere.
That's actually crazy, bro. There's like an underground economy that these hoes are using to actually trap their pussy. And it's very impressive. Like, it's from a distance, I respect it. Get your money. I definitely respect that. But when it comes to Johnny, I'm going to need that discount.
I got coupons.
100%.
Yeah. I'll give you a little bit of this reparations check. We can get it popping.
Or that's the thing. When they come back, they still fucking the same broke people, though. They still fucking the same broke people.
There's a girl that I'm messing with now. She got flown out to New York last weekend. She's going to Mexico at the end of this month. And like, it's so annoying because I know the situation, but whenever she brings it up, she's just like, oh yeah, they're just my friends. I'm like, you just spending time with one dude for 3 days in Mexico who's just your friend. And the only reason why y'all are going is just for some restaurant. If that don't sound like some thought ass behavior, I don't know what is.
If somebody's going willing to pay, like the situation was the opposite, you know, you met some woman who was willing to fly you out to Paris, you know what I'm saying? Would you not go?
Oh, for sure.
I don't think people are even judging them like that anymore. Like, they're lying to you because they're doing that same little game with you because they think that you might judge them or say something. But like you said, like, you get that money. Like, we're not looking at you a certain way. At least we aren't. There might be other people who are, but they just bitch ass niggas who like are mad that. Speaking of that, because I was talking to a female earlier about trying to convince her to go out and hoe around and shit like that, and she still was talking like, I don't want to fuck two guys in the same like month or whatever because I don't want to look like a hoe. And I didn't know people still thought like that.
Yeah, that's wild. In 2019, that's insane. In the era of the IUD.
Yeah, like, I knew, like, maybe like in high school, that was definitely still a thing where like you didn't want to look like a hoe, and people were worried about their body counts, and people were worried about being seen. But I thought that was like mostly dead by now.
Yeah, see, that's a thing. Indiana. That's a thing. Yeah, small.
Everything travels. Yeah, everything small, hits in Indiana last, so it makes sense. But
behaviors and the things that you're worried about is so much different than it is, I mean, in any metropolitan area. I mean, they got so much tradition. Town talks, man. Town talks.
Oh, that's so true. That is very true.
I feel like the Midwest just generally finds out about the rest of the world a little later than everybody else. Like, they figure out that people stop caring about shit way less, like, way later than.
I think they're just naturally conservative people. Yes. Like, and it makes sense.
I think that's why, though.
I think it's just because of a lack of resources, frankly. Like, there's no New York in Indiana. You know what I mean? Like, it's tough to be able to say that you can relate to that one girl who has a million Instagram followers and is getting thrown out everywhere if you don't get the same opportunities. If anything, it's going to make you kind of hate that girl a little bit, feel a form of jealousy because it's like, hey, I'm out here. I know I look twice as good as her. I know there's more to me and my personality and who I am as a person. It feels like I'm being valued for less. So instead of that, I'm just going to call her
that's to make a great myself feel better. Like, literally, the Midwest is a big space of where there's like some metropolitan areas, like, you know, you got Kansas City or St. Louis, whatever, but that's like 4 million people, maybe. There's nowhere that's like close within reach where you just go and be like, yep, I don't know anybody here. That doesn't exist here. So you're always kind of worried about that. So that norm of trying to keep a clean slate is always there.
That's a good point. I feel like a lot of that still boils down to them and their lack of exposure to the ideas of the rest of the world. Not the rest of the world, but the coast, really. Because I feel like that all boils down to lack of exposure. And that's like Johnny, what you were saying earlier about them still viewing other people who are more free, kind of in a spiteful way. I feel like that just comes from a lack of understanding because they're not exposed to all the types of different lifestyles that people on both the coast are.
I feel a lot of that is also Just trying to fit in. I mean, because everybody in your town is judging that one person that is living that lifestyle. And we're like, oh, she just went over there because she wants to be part of that. You know, whatever, whatever, whatever. We over here, we just do this. And if you're always around that, then you just go, you're just that much more likely to stay in that mindset.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, as somebody who lives in Missouri now, yeah.
Yeah, you have the freedom to still get out. Like, you ain't got a family back in Missouri. Thing.
You never know what kind of Missourians are listening to this.
So do you think the middle of America is going to catch up eventually?
Man.
Because the internet, I feel like the internet eventually is going to catch, has to catch everybody up.
I think we need to be like more physically connected for that to happen. Like if public transportation gets popping off and we get like all of these like hyperloops and shit, I definitely think.
Portal guns?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be fire, like Rick and Morty. if we get any form of public transportation that'll actually like make people like physically more accessible to each other, I think it definitely could happen. But otherwise, yeah, people just aren't gonna want to innately experience things that they've heard bad things about, or if they have like a more conservative limited mindset on. It's all about experiencing things. Like there's things that I used to hate a lot that, you know, over time I've tried and done more and experienced, and like they change you into a more accepting, honest, and like open person.
I think part of the problem with the, not, I guess I don't want to say problems, that makes it sound so negative, it's just there's no inflow of new ideas. Nobody, the thing here is you don't ever meet anybody who's from anywhere other than the Midwest. Like you meet people from Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, like where I'm from at least. But that's not gonna bring any new ideas. Nobody ever moves from, you know what? Nobody ever grows up in New Jersey. You know what? I wanna go farm.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to Nebraska. Right. That never happens. So you know, you never get those new ideas, and or where you're like with them every day type thing. And I feel like that's part of what's gonna keep you from
happening. But maybe there's just some way, it's really about just getting the Midwest like popping.
It is.
Like, on a global level. Like if there was something, there was some industry or is just something that would make international talent want to go there, it could happen. It could happen easily. Like maybe somebody is working on that. Like, and we just don't know.
We saw what happened with Colorado. Even Colorado, even before, was somewhere like people still kind of wanted to go to because the Alps, not Alps, but the scenery and everything. But we saw how much of a boom Colorado got from just getting an industry that everybody wanted to get into.
Right. Yeah. Now everybody loves Denver. That's like true. Around the world. Like you can go to other countries and people know about Denver. And
yeah.
What?
A lot of these states are kind of like sports teams. Like
they really kind of are. They really are.
Yeah, you gotta just make sure you get a star player on your roster, and like you can be able to go out and get it whenever.
Right.
So you're talking about like Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, Kansas should all make cocaine legal. All of a sudden, you know, this big.
Yo, honestly.
People who are mean.
Yo, honestly.
Wait, in no way am I promoting the use of cocaine whatsoever. Let me be very clear about that for legal reasons. But I mean, you're not
wrong.
I
do 100% think cocaine should be legal, though.
I mean, people are using much more fucked up opiates. Like, you can't tell me fentanyl can get prescribed by doctors to you, but like, people can't do like pure cocaine.
Even completely disregarding how helpful or harmful the drug is, just like, as far as the problems it will solve and cause, as far as the pros and cons, it will solve way more problems than it will cause.
But it's about regulation more than actually, like, I think you're right, and I think other people have thought about that idea, but then just regulating cocaine use is super, super difficult, because addiction is, like, once you're addicted to something, like, people are willing to do anything, like, anything, yeah, like, addiction is tricky.
100%.
But cigarettes are addictive, right?
But these pharmaceuticals, the pain pills are addictive. They're one of some of the most addictive things in the world.
Yeah, but it goes back to lobbyism, bro. They've been able to hold on to their power. Everybody knows what they're doing is fucked up. Like, the use of fentanyl in general is, like, horrible. Like, these ridiculous opiates that are way stronger than cocaine that are just being given out for, like, tooth pains. Like, this is how people form dependencies. This is how we get a generation of addicts. But the reason why it happens is because pharmaceutical businesses make so much money off of it, and they get to control the prices however they want. And then, like, if you have to just cut a piece of that to a senator or whatever, like, go ahead and fucking do it. I gotta feed, like, my family and then my kids' kids and my kids' kids' kids with that. So I don't give a fuck. Me and mine is gonna be fine.
And I don't know how the logistics would work exactly with how regulation would work with the legalization of cocaine and maybe some other, maybe a few other Schedule 1 drugs too. But I think that would be one of the most helpful things as far as helping Mexico and helping Colombia and helping all these countries that are just riddled with cartel and drug violence.
because you're saying as soon as it becomes legal here, then it doesn't have to resort to crime. It's
business.
Be,
yeah, it'll be right. business instead of crime. Like there's a way to regulate right. it and oversight, okay. and like there's a lot of opportunities to actually be able to handle that.
But and it will defund all these cartels that are pretty much running these countries into the dirt. They're being funded by us.
Definitely. Yeah, indirectly. And then like if they don't do what we say, we have like military force. Like we have a great control. It's fucked up to say, but America has a great control over Latin America.
Dang, that's sad. Maybe with the other drugs, they'll follow, I guess, whatever happens with marijuana. I feel like eventually, you know, within the next 5 years, it's going to be federally legal. Maybe it'll just follow the same game plan that it did with marijuana, and then it'll be
definitely.
Okay. I don't know if that can even be the path for that though, because there's kind of a steep fall after marijuana. After marijuana, shrooms, and things in that.
Yeah, I think psychedelics should definitely be declassified right after marijuana. Like, if there's an order to this 100%. Thing, like, psychedelics are actually, I feel, do more good than harm. But my opinion is...
Oh, wait, they objectively do.
Yeah.
They're not physically harmful.
And they, like, really help with, like, a lot of, like, deep, like, psychological issues, like clinical depression or, like, schizophrenia, like, multiple personality disorders. Like, there's so many 100%. Clinical psychiatrists that, like, would, if given the opportunity, like, prescribe a lot of altered or, like, watered-down versions of psychedelics just for, like, therapy. It's, like, pretty useful.
How much research is there on that? Because... I mean, I just based on what I've seen before, just because the Schedule 3 drug, right? That's the highest one?
I think Schedule 1? I don't know.
Whatever one is the highest. Because it's so highly classified or highly regulated that they just can't do official studies on it.
I know in the academic sense, there is a lot of research.
Money talks.
Money really does. That's why I'm trying to be out here saving my money, man. Not flying out these hoes yet.
Yet.
I mean...
Man, just go with it, yeah, Johnny.
Yeah, you know, I just realized the price of flying somebody out is the same price as you flying there. So you flexing on it, but at the same time, it's not flying you both out.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great in between. That's a great in between stuff. I just
plus you're in a comfort zone.
Exactly. You save so much money just being at your house. Still might be able to get like a couple games of Apex Legends in or some shit. Like I don't know.
You still, like, hey, taking that, baby. You be all right.
Still in control of the situation.
Yeah, for sure. I think all of this type of activity that's happening indirectly, like, will lead to like prostitution being legal someday. Like,
ooh, that is a topic.
I think just in terms of women's rights, it should happen. I would never use it.
100%.
That just sounds whack. It goes back to my same principle of even going to strip clubs. Like, why am I trying to pay for like blue balls or whatever when I can just get that shit for exactly. free? Like, you know what I mean? Like, but I think in terms, like, women are selling their pussy, like, this is in one way or another. Like, and they have the right to, because it's their body. Like, they should be able to do whatever the fuck they want with it. Fair. We were literally limiting them for saying, hey, no, you can't have the power to, like, use your own pussy to be able to provide opportunities for yourself or potentially your family. You know what I mean? But...
start a new business, provide for
yeah, but it comes down, it comes back to even what we were saying about drug legalization. It really boils down to regulation, because we don't want prostitution with like pimping like we had like in the 70s and stuff. It should be like a woman ran industry. Like,
but that goes back to what I was saying about the drug thing too. The only reason those pockets exist is because it's illegal. The only reason that dangerous pimping game exists in the first place is because it was illegal.
Yeah, but we need legality, but we also need good laws. Like, these ideas are always like great in theory, but like at the end of the day, if we can't write meaningful policy that'll make sure that we're protecting everybody involved and making sure that everybody gets a fair pay, like, I don't know. I don't believe the best in human nature. So people typically, when there isn't like any form of like policy saying don't do this, they're more likely to just do it and get what they need out of it. So I agree with you. I think it could happen. I mean, in an ideal world, it would have happened already. But the thing that just stops us is self-interest in writing laws.
You think prostitution should be exclusively women-owned? Like, any business that sells vagina should be owned by women?
I want to lean towards yes. Like, at least, like, 95%. Like, I just can't see justifying a scenario where, like, a man should be like, I know what I'm doing with this.
No, I mean that. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's a business. You're selling what you're selling.
Also, I think gay guys would be really good at selling pussy. I don't know why. Like, I feel like they would, like, do a great job trimming the bushes. Like, take...
They could just go to the
bro. They into interior design anyways. Like, let my people cook. You know what I mean? Like, just bro, gay guys would be super good at selling pussy. I have no real evidence to back this up, but it is a strong belief.
No self-interest. I feel like that's a big thing. You can make objective decisions. You know, so we're not trying to get yourself out the way. But like, yeah, man, here's a great business decision for me, for the business, for you.
Right? And then, yeah. They keep their bitches in the finest of garments as well. Dripped in YSL.
Dripping YSL.
We'll get there in like 50 or 60 years. Like, think about how crazy society is gonna be in like when we're old. Like,
it's not even something I can conceptualize at this point, just because of how fast shit moved in the past 20 years.
Yeah, right. And I'm just curious to see how all this AI shit breaks down. Like, I wonder how we're gonna be like as people in 50 years when we have potentially machinery that can be just as sentient.
Ugh.
Yeah, that is crazy. That's scary. All the revolutions within the past, yeah, like they said, 20 years, just that the whole, you know, LGBTQ thing, AI technology in general, just political ideas and stuff like that. So much different.
Right.
So much different.
I'm excited, though. I'm excited and a little scared, but excited for the most part.
You might have been born a little bit too early. Because I feel like we're not going to see it through.
What do you think through is, though? Like, what do you think is the end of this?
That's a great point. There probably is no through. Dang, thank you for checking me. Appreciate that.
The through could be, and what I'm hoping for, and what I hope I live for, is the artificial heaven, San Junipero, the little whatever it was from Black Mirror.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be
downloading
your consciousness, and I'm going to be so mad if I die before that.
Would you be satisfied, like, living in that forever, though? I feel like any paradise that you get put through, like if you're put in the same environment for 50 years, like for a really long period of time, like, how do people not even get bored, even with paradise?
Oh no, well, I think you should be able to check. Ideally, I think you would be able to check yourself out of it. One, and two, can have almost complete or as much control of the environment as you want.
Oh yeah, it's true. Like some, yeah, I could see that. That'd be amazing. Then there's no flaw in that.
Holy yeah, yeah. Shit.
Yeah, we're so close at perfecting life.
That's what I'm saying.
We are so close at perfecting life. God damn.
If we don't kill ourselves in the meantime.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If we don't kill ourselves first, we about to get
this. That's real, though. That's real as fuck. Because, like, even our generation, I was reading some study that Gen Z apparently is, like, clinically the most depressed generation, and we're the youngest.
That is. You think too much information? You think there's merit to ignorance?
100%.
I don't know. I can see either side. I can see either side of that.
I think both sides are true, but there's definitely a lot of truth in ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
Too much information is just, you can't do anything with it. So that's nothing but just anxiety built up in you.
That's true.
I think that just makes you jaded to everything. Like, I feel jaded to everything just because I see so much every day on mm-hmm. my fucking phone. We're like, I get to the point where like I don't feel that much doing regular shit anymore.
You think depression is on an all-time high because of the nature of our culture nowadays, or just because it's more diagnosed now than ever was before? Like, some people walk in and be like, hey, you know, I've been feeling kind of down, I don't want to get out of bed. But that's probably happening before, is just it wasn't documented or diagnosed.
I think it's the latter. I think it's the latter of what you're saying, Ray. I think it is because it's documented. I think we've been acting like this for forever, but now people just have more knowledge about it, kind of like what Nate was saying from before. Yeah. Like, because everybody is conscious of what's happening, we realize like how much of a tightrope life is like in human nature. And like the more that people notice, the more people want to intervene, and the more you intervene, the more you tip things off of balance, and like it just gets shaky.
If you put it in that perspective, that's a good thing, though, isn't it? That we're more conscious of what's going on with ourselves.
Ignorance is bliss.
Ignorance is bliss, but knowledge is that's what you need to advance and get to this next step where we probably can get past this hump where, I don't know, the past generations before us have always just accepted that this is kind of how life was, because they weren't aware of the problems that they had with themselves. We're like, we're the most diagnosed as depressed group ever, because now we know about it, but that means now we can do something about it.
So you're saying, all right, so you think that the depression is from just, I guess, more information, or just because, because before I said that it's because it's been diagnosed or treated or whatever more, but it also could be just from what y'all was saying before with the cell phone.
I think both
play a part. Having the interconnectivity.
I think both play a huge part. I do think the latter of what you said with us just being more knowledgeable about it is the overall reason why we're more depressed, but I do think the huge influx of information plays a huge part of it too. But I also think that could play a huge part in us getting past this and becoming better as people and reaching level 54 as people or whatever, yeah, whatever's next. Because we've got, like, our generation has made it through so many different humps.
Definitely.
That hundreds of years of people have just never even known that they can make it past. The most obvious example is technology and the things that we figured out we can do with the resources that we've kind of had for the past 100 years that didn't know that we can, that we didn't even know was a possibility for shit. And with and physically what we can do with our bodies as far as supplementation, as far as nutrition, as far as what's the word I'm thinking of where you help your fucking brain, as far as meditation, as far as self-acknowledgement, and as far as shit like that, we're figuring out so much more than hundreds of people before us haven't, that I feel like this might just be another part of that. And I feel like that's why I'm saying, like, the next 50 years or next 100 years is going to be so freaking, like, non-conceptual as far as what's gonna be life then, because we have no idea how far we're gonna advance because how fast we're fucking advancing now.
All right. Yeah, so when you said what we can do physically with our bodies, I thought you meant not by mutilation. I don't know what the word is. But yeah, I thought you meant that, or just the being able to, what is the word? Go through transition surgery and change your gender, all that kind of thing. No, I thought you meant that stuff.
I mean, Zion Williamson would never be a person. Wait, Zion Williamson would never be a person 60 years ago.
People
are different now because we're figuring out how to do different shit with our bodies through nutrition and supplementation or goddamn breeding or I think we don't even know what the biggest piece is because who the fuck knows why we have LeBron James and Zion Williamson now. That I don't think we even figured that out yet, but there's something different we're doing. That makes me so mad that we're the only, not only, but there's only maybe seven to maybe 12 countries that sort of have their shit together where we can continue to advance the human race, because we have all these shit, not to quote Trump or anything, but shithole countries are just run by dictators and just not even interested in progressing. And just if we could all be on the same page and all be on a page of helping human advancement, who could fucking tell where we would be in even 10 years or even now if we've been to that point. That's what I'm saying. That's why I was saying the whole thing about the drugs earlier. It's because I think the best interest for America is, one, to help the countries that are struggling, that are physically around us, like South America and like Mexico, which I really think legalizing drugs would really help with that, with Mexico at least. And just to get us to the point where we can all just advance as people and just be friends, man. There's nothing, we don't gain anything from fighting with other countries.
I think because of the internet, we're going to get there. It's just this baby boomers generation just kind of needs to let go of power and let the next generation take over. And once that progression starts to happen, I think the generation below the baby boomers also, none of us really fuck with the baby boomers at this point, considering all the shit they've been doing the past couple of years.
Yeah, whenever I see somebody who's 80, I'd be like, nah, I'm not talking.
Yeah, fuck you.
Right?
That's horrible.
Stop voting, please. Stop.
Fuck this
up. But I think once they let go of power, not even go away, but literally just let go of power and accept the natural role of life as being the elders, then the next generation below them will be more willing to let go of power earlier as well. I see people that are our age really, really fuck with 16 year olds, you know what I mean? Yeah. We want to see them do better. We want to see the youth be better than us. I want the next generation to be better than me. I 100, look forward to it.
But you still have to keep in mind that you're still talking about just America, though. Who knows how our generation's doing it in these other countries where we don't necessarily have direct contact.
I mean, bro, I'm gonna keep it a buck. I just can't wait for aliens to show up. Let's get it popping.
I'm saying, bro. I really, I hope I don't die before aliens show up because they definitely exist.
For
real. And I hope somebody shows up before we discover somebody else. That would make me so happy. I could literally die happy without the whole downloading my consciousness thing. I would be so happy if I was to witness. I'm like, there is something else great.
Yeah, I just miss. I miss it when humans had some form of competition. God damn.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Beating that
running
ass.
We were running it for too long, man. I'm bored, man. At the top.
Yeah. For real.
What if humans aren't just an anomaly on Earth, but just the anomaly just in general? And every other planet is just like, it has that, every other planet that has life is like Earth without humans.
No chance.
No chance?
No chance.
Yeah.
One would argue that there's no chance of us being as advanced as we are compared to everything else around us.
But the universe is constantly expanding. So like at an accelerating rate, like some shit really could happen. I rule out nothing in this existence. I've seen too much weird shit go down to like not be spooked now. But man, with that being said, we might wrap it up here, man. Thanks for tuning in, y'all. This was
Hold up. No, we have a code. We have a code to put out.
Oh, hey, we got AdWords.
Yeah,
hey,
wait.
Round of applause for us getting a bag.
Whoa, time out. I was not informed about this. Give me my cut. Stop playing with me.
We didn't say we had a cut yet.
We got to get a sales first, but it could be popping off from this episode onwards, bro. And I'm working on something too behind the scenes.
Just stay tuned for it, baby. Stay tuned.
Plug your ad.
Yo, shout out Johnny. Shout out Sterls. And shout out the motherfucking NBA Clinic 2018, 2019. Because them and my nigga LeBron got us our first sponsorship.
Hey, y'all. As you know, the NBA Clinic's going on right now. And because we're deep into basketball season, we decided to pair up with Athletes Drip, who is selling a bunch of great sports merch right now. If you're a fan of any of the stuff that we've been talking about on the NBA Clinic or anything LeBron related, Athletes Drip has got the hookup,
baby.
If you go on to Athletes Drip today and use the promo code Bron, it will give you 20% off and free shipping. Ooh. Y'all know that Kermit hat that I got where it's like Kermit sipping the tea? That shit is on there.
Memes?
What?
Right? What? Damn, my cop right now.
Go ahead and do that. Like I said, Athletes Drip with the promo code Bron. And if they ask you where you heard it from, stay tuned.
Hey man, we love you. We had a great new guest today, Raymond Burtnick. Hey, and a little round of applause for our new guest, Raymond Burtnick, man. It always makes me happy to add to our Stay Tuned family, man. And son, man, oh, y'all warm my heart. And all the fans, if you listening, y'all warm my heart too, man. Ride or die.
I love our fans, for real.
Bro, it's love. Y'all aren't on a podcast, so you can't talk with us, but you can hear us. So that makes you a guest too. You're our guest, and we appreciate you, and we love you. Stay tuned.